Last week we considered the Ninth Commandment as well, and we looked at ways in which the evangelical church has a history of adding to the Lord's Word, straining at gnats, so to speak. And as I pointed out last week, one of the problems with straining at gnats is that it always leads to swallowing camels. And that's what I want to talk about this morning with regard to the Ninth Commandment, because the evangelical church also has a long history of taking away from some areas that the Ninth Commandment really reaches into. See, the Ninth Commandment in its full fruit would be dealing with the sin of perjury, giving evidence falsely under oath, lying against your neighbor, perhaps accusing them of a crime that they did not commit. But like the other sins that the Ten Commandments deal with, whether you're dealing with murder or theft and so forth, it's not just the full flower that God is concerned with, or the final fruit. He's also concerned with every part of the tree, with the limbs and the trunk and the roots as well. And so if perjury is the full flower of this particular sin, when we go further down toward the roots, what we're going to find is things like slander and gossip, things that are much easier for us to do and maybe justify. So let's talk about them a little bit, because there's a lot of confusion about them in the evangelical church. Slander and gossip involve seeking to diminish your neighbor in other people's eyes, often by seeking to distance people from someone you feel like you're in competition with, someone who is a rival. You may not call them that exactly, but that's the way you feel. And so you want to diminish them in other people's eyes, or to distance other people from that person. This is a very, very natural human instinct and emotion and an impulse that just rises up within us naturally. Now, once you have that motivation, slander and gossip are going to be very easy for you to do. Slander is telling a falsehood. Okay, slander involves falsehood. It's telling a falsehood for the purpose of negatively affecting another person's opinion of a third person. Okay, so you're telling a falsehood to negatively affect the person you're talking to, negatively affect their opinion regarding a third person. Now, the falsehood you tell, it might be a total lie, but most lies are not total lies. We're not that dumb. Most lies are partially true. Most lies are as close to true as we can get them while still communicating the falsehood. C.S. Lewis points out that the most devastating lies are as true as possible, because that way they hurt a lot more. So most lies are partial truths. It may be telling part of the truth as though it were the whole truth, and thus creating a false impression. So that's slander. Gossip is much harder to pin down. Gossip is often confused with slander. It's often assumed that if something is true, if it's 100% true, then it can't be gossip. Well, that's not so. If it's not 100% true, if it's involving a falsehood, then it's going to be slander. Gossip is dealing with the truth, or at least what the person believes to be the truth. The second confusion we make is to confuse gossip with hearsay. Hearsay is a word people will throw around, and somebody will say something and they'll go, well, that's just hearsay. And what they mean is it's just kind of going around. We have to remember, hearsay is actually a legal term. It comes from the rules of evidence that applies in courtrooms. And it basically means secondhand evidence. A lot of times people say hearsay, meaning it's not really true. Hearsay has nothing to do with whether the statement is true or false. It has to do with whether the information you're relating is firsthand, you know it yourself, or whether you are simply repeating secondhand information. May be completely true, but it's secondhand. You see, the problem in the courtroom when somebody's being accused of something is if I take the witness stand and I say, well, Joe said X, Y, and Z. You see, our due process, which is based on biblical principles, gives the accused the right to examine the witness. And who's the witness when I say Joe says he saw X, Y, and Z? Joe is the witness. But Joe's not on the stand. I'm on the stand. You can only confront and examine me, which means you can't examine Joe. You try to inquire of me to test the veracity of Joe's statement, and I just go, I don't know, that's just what Joe said. Joe's not here. That's hearsay. And that's why it's not permitted except under certain exceptional circumstances in the courtroom. Okay, so hearsay is not the same thing as gossip, which the Bible often calls tale-bearing. Okay, tale-bearing and gossip are the same thing. Gossip or tale-bearing may well involve first-hand information, eyewitness information, and it may be 100% true. So the essence of gossip is this. It's telling the truth, or at least what you believe to be true, but not for a righteous purpose. Telling the truth or what you believe to be true for an unrighteous purpose. And specifically, it's usually for the purpose of negatively affecting the hearer's opinion of some third person. Now, right there you may think, we're never going to get anywhere with this. If sin has that many moving parts to it, and it's that subtle, and we have to sort through these various things in order to identify it, we're never going to make it. What we need to do is come up with some ironclad rules, a list of do's and don'ts that makes real clear what people can say and what they can't say. There's two problems with that. Number one, we never grow up. Biblical maturity requires discerning of motives. Why do I want to tell this person this truth that I have? That requires maturity. That's where God is leading us. Wherever God is leading us onto the maturity, there is always the potential of playing games. That's one of the things we have to mature out of. What happens when we want to simplify it and to infantilize ourselves spiritually is we come up with a list of concrete do's and don'ts, and we can keep them. They're easy to keep. Maybe a pain to keep, but it's easy. You can do it. Problem is, you can do it in the flesh. And you can keep all those do's and don'ts while gossip and slander run rampant. And then you can pat your back on the fact that I never gossip or slander because here's the list. That's not what God's calling us for, calling us to. Okay. So, where do these wrong desires come from? Because we see how the motivation for both of these is basically to negatively affect somebody's opinion of a third person, unrighteously so. Where does that desire come from? That's what we really need to be dealing with, because it's the root of the whole problem. Well, ultimately, the Bible tells us that it comes from deriving our sense of approval, of well-being, of security, and seeking glory and blessing and happiness primarily from other people rather than from God. Jesus himself said that seeking, being primarily motivated by seeking glory from others, is corrosive of faith and is antithetical to seeking ultimate glory from God. John 5, verse 44. Jesus said, how can you believe when you receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Jesus was very careful to point out in the context that he did not seek glory from men. Now, we need to be clear on what this means. It does not mean that we don't care or shouldn't care what others think of us. A lot of times we will posit that as being a person who's very secure and humble. They don't care what anybody thinks of them. C.S. Lewis well pointed out that that actually would be the height of pride. Somebody who literally does not care what anybody thinks of them is a psychopath. Get away from them as quickly as possible. Okay? So that's not what Jesus was saying, because we're expressly told in Luke 2:52 that as Jesus was growing up, he grew in favor with God and men. And he's the example. Elders are required to have a good reputation, even among unbelievers. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. So it's not saying we shouldn't care what other people think of us. If we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to have a healthy care for what our neighbor thinks. What it means is that the only glory we seek directly and in its own right is glory from God. We seek the favor of others as the blessing of God. That comes on the rebound. We recognize that every good thing, including favor from our neighbors, comes down from above as the gift of God, James 1:17. And so it means that we have this prioritization. The glory we're seeking directly is the approval and the glory of God. Favor from others, being well thought of from others, comes by the blessing of God as we walk before Him in a righteous way. When we allow ourselves to be primarily motivated and we're trying to find our main source of happiness and well-being from how we're relating and jockeying with everybody else, no matter how we try to approach it, it's always going to end up in a sense of rivalry. You're always going to come into every room and have a sense of, what kind of hand do I have to play in this room with these people? Do I have a strong hand or do I have a weak hand? If you feel like you have a strong hand in comparison to other people, you're going to feel like the life of the party. If you feel like you've got a losing hand, you're going to feel like nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms. This leads to rivalry. Rivalry leads to manipulativeness. Manipulativeness is a desire to control other people's loyalties, affections, and opinions to suit our selfish agenda. And all of that leads to flattery, flattering other people in order to manipulate their opinions and their affections. It also leads to what the mafia calls ring giving. Mafia dons are known as ring givers. They give to people all the time. There's a famous scene in The Godfather in which somebody has to come to the Godfather and ask for a favor, and they're very apologetic about it. They offer to pay for it, and the Godfather asks like he's assaulted. He said, "No, what do you mean pay for this? I will happily do this favor for you. You insult me by offering to pay for it. But one day I will ask a favor of you." That's a ring giver. It's all manipulative. So the things that we should avoid are things like this. Don't seek to draw other people into orbit around you. Because when you do that, who's the star in the center of this solar system? You are. Don't seek to put other people in your debt. If you do something for others, give it freely. Don't do it to put them in your debt. Don't seek to manipulate other people through flattery. See, that's another spoken word that's offered for unrighteous purposes. Now, again, we're tempted with flattery to say, well, you just can't say anything nice about anybody. No, no. We have to grow up. We have to mature. Say nice things to other people, but be genuine about it and mean it as a genuine compliment.